Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last? I lied.
I am the law!
Get off my plane.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
John, I'm not gonna shoot you between the eyes! I'm gonna shoot you between the balls!
Your disease. I'm the cure.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent.
There can be only one!
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Yippee-ki-yay.
I'm going to kill them all, sir.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome to another episode of Gimme Back My Action Movies, the podcast. I am one of your hosts, Charlie. With me, as always, is Nate. Say hello to the people, Nate.
What's up?
And beside Nate on my screen is the one, the only, Turbo Pete. Say hello to the people, Pete.
Are you ready to master the art of kicking ass? Eyes, nose, genital. Yes!
I love it.
It's Turbo Kid.
Why does he get to be Turbo Pete? I actually put Turbo Nate in my name.
Well, because it doesn't say Turbo Nate or Pete.
It does. It literally says, it does it. He's a phony.
No way, man. This
You're
is
a phony.
Let's go. It's Sunday morning. Let's do this.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to scheduling, we were recording this Sunday morning. So we're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I'm heavily caffeinated, properly medicated. I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
I'm getting there. I forgot to take my meds.
Go, Nate.
I'll get them after the recording.
Yes, I'll get your damn pills. Shut up. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Well,
talk about this damn movie first.
What? Oh, look! Listen to Grumpy Nate. I didn't call him Turbo Nate. Now
I know. Now I'm upset.
He's mad. I have all the energy this morning.
Yeah,
that's right. I'll call him Zeus from now on. So
that's right.
Today we are covering the final movie in the month of Neon, Turbo Kid, and I think we have all been excited for this one all month.
Yeah.
Nate and I have had this on our list for I don't know a year. Like, we need to cover Turbo Kid. When are we going to cover Turbo Kid? We love this movie.
Find the right time slot.
And today is that time.
I don't know. Like, last night when watching it, it felt like an end of an era, boys. Like, kind of sad to see Neon Month go.
I know. It's been really enjoyable. I think we'll have to do it again. See how many other Neon. If you type in Neon on Tubi, there's like 5 or 6 movies that pop up that say Neon, and I was like, I kind of want to watch these.
Yeah, Pete was like, just start the damn movie already, because I was like, well, look at this Neon movie. What about this Neon? He's like, no, we have to watch Neon Maniacs.
Which was a happy accident, and that so happy we did cover that. But yep, this week is Turbo Kid. We're gonna have a lot of fun with it. So I have the trailer, but I did something a little different. Instead of the standard trailer that's like 2 minutes long, apparently I stumbled upon a Red Band trailer that's only 30 seconds, but entirely narrated by Michael Ironside.
Cool. Yes.
So a little different, a little fun. If you want to watch the actual trailer, go on YouTube. It's out there. It's awesome. There is a good segment of that one that's just music because they're flashing words on the screen. So I was like, I don't feel so bad not playing it. But let's play Michael Ironside's Turbo Kid trailer.
Take home, Turbo Kid. This is it, soldier. The situation is critical. A film so good it will blow your mind.
This is gonna get ugly.
And make your head explode. Find them. Kill them. Turbo Kid. Available in all modern formats now. It's about goddamn time.
Yeah!
Dude, Michael Ironside could be trailer voice guy.
Michael Ironside, but I was loving it going. Badass. They literally got him to reference almost all of his movies. Like, let's blow this guy's head up, which is Scanners. It's about goddamn times from Total Recall when he gets the permission to kill Arnold, and he's like, about goddamn time. I was like, And it's just, and the trailer's bloody as all get out. It's like all the, you know, the gore scenes from the movie. But it's Michael Ironside trying to get you to buy the DVD, which is awesome.
That's great. All get out. That's so funny, too, because when this first came out, it was a pain in the ass to get a hold of a copy.
Yeah, it was.
It had a very limited run in the beginning.
This was, it took a while before I heard about this movie. I'm glad now I'm kind of locked into things like Kickstarter and Indiegogo for independent films. We start to get more of those updates that, 2 years ago, I had no clue that you could find this stuff. But Turbo Kid, and like I said, on Psycho Gorman, I regret missing those Kickstarters and those, you know, getting all the perks, because they got some cool shit. They got really cool shit at that stuff.
This one, I remember all the campaigning for. I didn't put anything into it because of, you know, being skeptical of those kind of things back then. Yeah. I just, you know, is it real kind of thing? Mm-hmm. It took me forever to buy something off the internet. I was like, is it real? Are you just trying to take my money?
Part of that was because our buddy Mark backs a lot of these like board games and stuff, and he would tell us horror stories about backing for some of these games, and they never
the one time I backed a game, it took like 4 years to release. So it's just God damn it.
that can really kind of, you know, tarnish your want to back these things. Now that we do it, it's like we've backed some movies that are still finishing up their campaigns and stuff.
Process is all
it just takes time.
I back every Christopher R. Mim movie. He's a filmmaker in Minnesota. I back every one of his movies, and he always produces. He makes a film a year, and I've got all of them in the back. I just got Annihilate All Humans, but he doesn't do it through Kickstarter. He does it through his own website. And if you like some campy homage to the 50s monster movies, sci-fi movies, go check out his stuff. It's a lot of fun.
I've watched a couple of them. Somehow I have a signed picture from him.
Yeah. Dude, which one do you own? Oh, you own Weresquito, right?
I own Weresquito, Nazi Hunter, and I've yet to watch it. One day I will. That's a party atmosphere.
Yeah.
I already know it. Now with this one though, I remember all the early stuff for it. To the point where it was such a pain in the ass to get that original Blu-ray. I pirated this honestly the very first time I watched it. Yeah. It was one of those just like go to the old store of pirates and
sail the seven seas.
And throw it on a USB stick, and then I remember being blown away, taking said USB stick to my dad's, or to my parents. Mom hated it. Dad loved it.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, that would have been my sense. Parents. Yeah, Dad absolutely adored, as soon as, our Indiana Jones character gets his hand cut off, and just the amount of blood squirting all over the place.
I love that stuff.
But this was one of those movies that made such a huge impact that I have seen this a lot, and to be able to revisit, because it's been a minute since I've watched it, because those first 2 years it was just nonstop Turbo Kid. It's been a hot minute. I was like, oh, this is great. I own the comic book that had a 2-issue run that follows.
Is that Apple's Adventures? Yeah. I just found that on Amazon. I was going to buy it.
Yep, bought those from Laughing Ogre when those were released. Made sure to stop in as soon as it was the release drop. I adore Turbo Kid.
I don't know how I missed it. I missed everything about Turbo Kid. And I had a buddy reach out to me on my other podcast, and he says, dude, you've got to do this movie for Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. And said, all right, I'll watch it. And I was, like you said, Nate, blown away. I think we found it on Tubi at that point. That's only been a year or two ago. And we did it immediately. And the four of us had such a good time covering that. Kathleen was a little, ew.
A lot of ew for Kathleen.
But
this
boy,
movie,
Dave, sure. Troy, and I just ate it up. We loved the hell out of it. It was wonderful.
We've kind of already gone in through what our first experiences are here. So mine was about probably early last year is the first time I watched it.
Oh really?
And was really into it. I just this is fantastic. This is me. Mm-hmm. If I was to go make a movie, and I bought it on Blu-ray when Crabs came out. Our buddy Pierce's mm-hmm. finally went to physical media, and Raven Banner picked up the distribution. And I was pre-ordering his, and then saw, oh shit, they got like this special edition slip cover. It came with trading cards, which I have. They're awesome, of Turbo Kid. And now I watch it, I don't know, once every couple months now. I pop it in just because I love it. This is a genre of movies I really want to take off. I want these R-rated kid adventure movies. Because
it's
as kids,
really hard to describe exactly
yeah
what they are, but like like with Raven Banner, I've now realized, like, we've done Crabs, mm-hmm. they did Psycho Gorman's distribution, and this.
Yep.
And like all of those films have this central theme of following kids through a very campy, violent adventure. And it's something I'm like, I really, really like this genre that I don't know what to name it. You know,
I don't know what to name it either, but it's very, you know, we were talking about this with Neon Maniacs, where say we did the remake, it still has to have this feel of a kid adventure, but be R-rated. That's what all this is. This is like all of the fun and nostalgia and warm feelings from kids on a life journey, you know, on a quest, but there's blood and guts and language in it, because when we were kids, that's what we wanted to watch. We were allowed to watch the kid movies like Goonies, but we wanted to watch RoboCop. You
exactly.
know?
That's so what it's I was like, about to say. It's like someone took Goonies and mixed it with RoboCop.
Exactly.
And it turns out that's a formula that's just a winner.
That's gold.
Every time.
It's gold. I am there from now on. I will back all these projects 100%. I get pirating when we can't actually get a copy of something, especially now where something hasn't been available. But I'm also one of those people of, I'm still going to go buy a physical copy the second I'm able
to. Once the copy is available, I'm going to buy it. Yeah.
Exactly. And I,
like, there for a minute, I feel like Turbo Kid wasn't even on Tubi. Like, it just would disappear, then reappear kind of thing.
It's been on Tubi for a couple of years, I thought. I mean,
well,
now
it has. When it first came out, this was, like, one of those movies that was just hard to, like, let people know about. Because, yeah. like, it was one yeah. of those, I was like, oh, you got to see Turbo Kid. Oh, I can't find him. Like, God damn it. Like, why is this so hard? Now, the filmmakers, there's three of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce any other names, because they are
French
Canadian.
Yeah. Well, French Canadian, are they?
Okay. French Canadian, yeah. Okay. But back in 2018, they did their second film, Summer of 84. And the moment
that
came out,
that was great.
The moment that came out, me and the significant other went to Gateway. I was like, we have to see this. I was like, I know I haven't shown you Turbo Kid yet, but I was like, just trust me, these three filmmakers are. We're going to go into this totally blind. And we were just like jaws dropped by the end of that movie. Like, it's got
Summer
some problems.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah. for the most part, it's
a
really
a rough
enjoyable
ending.
Movie.
Dude,
yeah.
that ending was rough.
It's yeah. We were just like, they did that. Holy
yeah,
shit.
They did that.
Now the great news is since 2018, this team has been pretty much radio silent until 2 weeks ago.
barely.
They have a zombie movie coming out. And then they have another movie coming out as well that I can't remember the name of. Wake Up. That's what it is. But I don't know anything about what Wake Up is. It was just a surprise drop at one of the film festivals that just happened up in Canada.
Sometimes those are the best ones that you have no idea.
The fact that they've been so quiet for so long and have two, it's just like, holy shit. Like, you guys must have something going on.
Give me.
The amount of gore that they did for their first film in Turbo Kid, take that gore now in my head and throw it towards a zombie movie. I am in. I am
oh my
so
God.
In.
As long as it yeah. retains the humor, because I'm not a fan of the serious zombie movies. They're just they are. There's a feeling of hopelessness with a serious zombie movie that I don't care for.
Yeah,
I have a feeling with this team
me.
We're gonna have.
But, if you do Return of Living Dead, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's one of my things with a lot of people is when they're trying to find their like niche or their voice, that they'll do multiple things and some of it will fall flat. You know, it's like if they tried to make Turbo Kid a serious like movie, it just never would work. It has to have this campiness, and they've nailed it. So now it's like, that's what you guys do. That's what you're good at. Keeping that campy feel.
Oh yeah. They're calling the zombies in the movie living impaired.
They're perfect. I'm totally down.
I'm on board. I get it. Like,
if that, if anything should tell you, Pete, it's in good hands.
All right.
I mean, it's like, I like, you know, people like Edgar Wright, who did, you know, Shaun of the Dead, did Hot Fuzz, then he did At World's End. They all feel in that universe, his type of movies. And it's like, and they're all different genres. So it's possible to do and still have this feel of, oh, I love this, you know, Edgar Wright movie.
This is a vision I really appreciate. And I thought these directors had such a great vision through the entire thing. Who thinks of pulling somebody's intestines out with a bicycle? I mean, that's...
They took a long time to set up. Okay, so we got to...
A lot of the movie,
that was too fast.
It took a minute. Because, like, when rewatching the movie yesterday, like, we threw it on the projector, like... had it on the wall.
Oh yeah.
It was one of those, like, because to me this felt like a huge event ending for the Neon Month. I was like, I want to go out on a bang, watch final movie, you know, and I want to be at large and just, I forgot. I'm like, oh yeah, they're instantly in the pit and, you know, body parts are getting cut off. It's like, nah, it takes a minute to go, but there's so much cool little kid stuff, I guess, of just like having the synth wave. The score is amazing. It's
amazing.
It is so dreamlike and just so much fun. I want to learn how to play the keyboard that way I can start a synth band, damn it.
You need a keytar.
Yeah.
And I mean, the movie starts with Thunder in Your Heart, which is from Rad.
Yeah.
So it's automatically going, here's your nostalgia. We're on bikes. Everyone watched Rad growing up. And here's the song from Rad, Thunder in Your Heart. You know, it's like, we need to let Mark watch this if he hasn't watched Turbo Kid yet, and just watch him lose his mind at the beginning, because he is a Rad freak.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like, oh, Mark loves
when Rad was officially announced on Blu-ray. I think that was like, the man never buys movies, like, ever.
No,
it was like the first movie he bought.
He instantly pre-ordered that. I think either he or I shared the link, and he was like, I'm getting it now. And he was immediately there. I was like,
right now,
Mark loves Rad.
Could you get his credit card out fast
enough? No.
It's awesome.
But the world building to this movie, it throws you in. I love describing it to people of, oh yeah, it's a post-apocalyptic movie in 1997.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it drops you right
into
it. No,
you have no idea what happened. You have an idea.
They allude to something that happens in the past, but they really don't define it. And I'm down for it. I don't need an explanation of what happened. Much like Planet of the Apes, you don't really, you get dropped into this world, and then you kind of have to, the mystery is unwoven on the screen, but Turbo Kid pulls back even more. They is like, something may have happened. Something definitely happened.
It works to their budget though. So it does. Brilliantly.
And did you read that they were filming in the desert?
Yes,
because they wanted this post-apocalyptic feel to it, and it kept raining.
Yep. So they changed the script.
They changed the script, and they dyed all the puddles of water to make it acid rain.
So acid rain.
That it could be like the Fallout. Wasteland. Like,
The Fallout, right?
And they have Apple make a comment that she's from the other side, and it's just nothing but desert sand. So they still get that tie-in that there is a wasteland, but they just happen to be where the acid rain is. So they kind of lean it towards it might be climate involved of what's happened to the apocalypse.
But they also, like, all the dinosaurs died in an explosion, kind of like what happened to us.
Yeah, they make like that little reference.
Oh,
you know?
right.
So,
she's looking through the viewfinder like, it's a T-Rex, and they do that little... There's all these little nice... thread lines,
and then there's a water shortage just like in
Steel Dawn
Fury Road.
Steel Dawn.
I don't talk about
you knew I was gonna bring it up.
I knew it was coming.
I told you
I've already erased it from my mind.
Nope.
At that point.
I want to meet these directors and ask them if that was some of their influence.
You know,
I
really do. John,
it had to been.
Yeah.
I hope they go, what's that?
No, everyone knows what Steel Dawn is.
Or I hope they go, you gross, don't message me again.
You can't tell me Skeletron's hair is not the bad guy from Steel Dawn.
You're not too far off.
I am telling you right now.
Skeletron is 10 times cooler of a villain. What an icon of a villain right out the gate.
I want more Skeletron. My God, that guy was amazing. He did so much without saying a word.
Yeah, that dude's like
his
body language. Like the way he would just shrug.
Or he'd get mad. You know, his body language when he was mad or frustrated. I was just like, this guy's got it, man. This guy's.
He reminded me a little of Randy Savage as his herky jerky head bobs and stuff. How he
kind
of look
animated.
Around. Very animated. It was
super
animated.
But it's that I love the non-speaking henchman or villain. You know, it's very kind of Mad Max because, you know, Vernon Wells's character barely talked. He would only go, we go, you know, that's all he would ever do. And then we get Skeletron, which is very like, I am the henchman. He has the saw blade arm, which is like the crossbow
weapon.
Crossbow arm, you know, so it's like, but no talking, never see his face behind the mask. You could tell it's painted, you know, his whole face is painted black, you know, and it's not in a bad way, people. It's for shadow.
No, it's like Batman. Yeah. Batman.
Yeah. Exactly. It's
just like Nick Cage and Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Yes, that too.
Yeah. Yes.
But I love the aesthetic of, but what I really love is they stuck with everyone's on bikes. There's no gasoline-powered vehicles.
The selling point to this movie for me was it was described as Mad Max meets BMX. So I went, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because then
the kid even does like BMX tricks at the beginning of the movie. The very beginning, he's going up. Yeah, he goes up the hill, kicks it out. You know, all these. I'm like,
it does.
I think there's a point where it looks like the cover of Rad. I think when he kicks it, the tire sideways.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep.
It looks like the cover. Yeah.
But kudos to the filmmakers for being able to take like 2 mile per hour bike chases and like make them seem so intense, like they are on a Mad Max set with cars chasing each other. But they're only going so fast, you know.
I get that.
The camera will like zoom in on the tires. And
I was gonna
say,
if you get up on bike spokes, you're going slow, but they look really fast. So
yeah,
it works.
They're faster than those vehicles at the end of Steel Dawn. That's for sure.
Yes, they are.
The weird wind machine.
These can actually turn.
Yeah, it's just an unguided missile.
See,
going down.
I told you guys, Steel Dawn and Turbo Kid, there's a connection there. I tried to tell you guys. Oh my God. But no, this movie just starts out and I'm immediately hooked. You know, the first time I watched it, just trying to take it when he's like scavenging and he starts, you know, he's gathering all these small things. We're not really seeing a whole lot, but he goes down into his lair, his home
bunker, right?
His bunker, and it's just like this kid's collecting like pink flamingos because he just loves the look of it. He has like 50 of them in the corner. He has a Walkman that he has tapes that he's been gathering up.
Finds batteries.
The way
he can. Yeah.
Dude, we're listening to Thunder in Your Heart as this whole montage is going. Then he puts a tape in his cassette player and turns it on, and the music changes to as if it's coming through his earphones, and he's trying to turn it down, and the volume comes right back to the perfect level for the song. So now it's like, oh shit, he's listening to the song we're listening to.
It's such a good editing choice.
Yeah.
And then the batteries start to die, and trust me, if you grew up in that era,
that's the saddest thing ever.
Slow down.
It's not like these fancy CD players where they just stop.
Yeah, this one's would just stop. Like, okay, nothing else. Cassettes would be like, I'm still trying, man. I only got like 0.34 of a volt.
You.
I love
but it's the, much
those
like
little attentions.
How Apple would die as well, repeatedly.
Oh, this was the beauty. Jackie had not seen this yet.
Oh,
so she was watching this, and Tubi was glitching a little bit last night. I have the DVD. I got lazy. I was like, it's on Tubi, and it's a good quality one. And it froze on Apple's face, and she goes, her eyes look so fake. And I wanted to say something, but I didn't, and I let it go till she gets, you know, she gets shot, and they don't show it either till later, and you see all the electrical, and you just see Jackie like, oh, she's a robot? And I was just like, the whole time, I was so happy that I did the same thing the first time I watched it. I was just like, okay, she's a little odd, you know, but they're in the wasteland.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just like, oh, she's odd.
She's just another quirky character. Odd, and, but you never expected her to be a robot.
But with
and then you see when she's a robot, it's such a reveal, man. I love it.
I'm fairly certain her eyes are that actress's, like,
I think that's her real eye color.
And, like, they remind me of the actress from the 80s. Is it Meg Foster? Is that
Meg Foster. She Meg has Foster. Those icy blue eyes.
Like, you can't look away from vibe. Them. Yeah.
What I think they did, like, there's a picture of her on her IMDb, and her eyes are very, like, that Meg Foster style. But I think there's still a little, because her whites are very, very white, especially whenever the movie pauses on her face, and you really... at it, and I'm like, I think there is at least a subtle contact lens in her eyes. It also changes in the movie, so you can tell there's times where it's a close-up.
It's supposed to be like robotic. You can definitely tell there's an android-esque.
Yes, when she like freezes later in the movie, her eyes totally change a little bit, like they kind of glow, and then when she comes back they dim back out. So
she is a robot that does not shoot laser beams out of her mouth, which I do enjoy, because that is a different take on androids. Instead of through the eyes, the mouth.
The mouth, exactly. I like, she's just a companion robot. I mean, the way they explain so much in this movie without a total, like, let's info dump the audience is amazing. It's like, now you're like, okay, this is 1997. This is the fun part too. I like, this movie's made in 2015, but the apocalypse happened in 1997. So it's like, we've gone backwards in storytelling, and I dig that so much. It's like another possible timeline. This is what's happened.
Well, instead of like Mad Max, where that was filmed with the idea of we're set in the future where the apocalypse has happened, but
yeah, they never give a, there's no date in Mad Max at all. But I like the fact though that Mad Max came out, you know, 79, 80, it felt like it still was that time, and it was only like a few years past when the movie came out.
There's nothing crazy sci-fi in Mad Max,
but there's no robots.
The world has definitely ended, especially in Road Warrior, because in the first Mad Max there's still quite a bit of, I guess, civilization.
The full apocalypse hasn't like taken everything out.
You know, it's at your front door kind of thing.
Yeah, it was COVID. That's pretty much what the first Mad Max was. You know, it was very when things actually collapsed. But
really cool bike stunts.
Dude, the bike stunts in this are so cool. I know, but I love the way they stuck with it. He goes into like Barter Town is what I kept calling it whenever he goes into the area to trade.
It's Force Awakens was very much like this, how Ray would go junking and then take it in to town for stuff.
Scavenging, getting the stuff, you know, he's getting the water. Took me forever to figure out what he hands him. He goes, I'll give you this on credit, and he hands him those two cylinders. And I think the first time I watched it, I didn't realize like what was it till later. I went, oh shit, those are the bike pegs for Apple to stand on, because there's a quick moment where he relents and takes her with him, and they show his bag and they're laying there, and I went, those are pegs, that's what Apple's standing on. And I think it was like two or three watches before I ever picked up.
I didn't catch that at all.
But I love the guard at Barter Town who's just trying to threaten him as he's bouncing around. We get the awesome arm wrestling thing, which there's another movie, and it's
Over the Top.
I was gonna say, is it over the top?
There's another one. Hold on, I gotta find it. It's Steel something, not Steel Dawn.
Steel Dawn. It's over Steel the Steel Dawn. Dawn.
Steel Dawn, the Steelening.
Over the Top Dawn.
Come on. You guys are killing me. You know, I'm cutting 90% of this.
I know, that's fine. This isn't that funny.
Let's see. Yeah, it's like this is really just like beating a horse that has been dead for a while.
I'm going to keep bringing it up.
Steel Over the Dawn. It's just more. Really, it's hard to come up with more titles out of five words that kind
of
suck.
Dawn okay, of the Steel.
So yeah, yeah, I like that.
So there's this movie from the 80s, and I haven't watched it in a very long time, but it's called Hands of Steel. And oh. The cover looks
whoa,
badass.
What's Hands of Steel? This sounds awesome.
The no, cover looks insane. Like this guy's got this robotic arm. He looks kind of like the guy from Turbo Kid. It is a movie about arm wrestling in, you know, in like this future-esque looking.
It's in the future of 1997.
Color me. I can't believe there are two movies about arm wrestling.
Yeah. Also, that is very impressive.
I cannot believe that there are two full length feature films about arm. Oh my God.
Yeah. This guy's cheating though, because he's got a robot arm.
It is a robot arm.
I might watch this after I get all my chores done today.
I need to watch it again. But
well, I'll tell you right now, all the pictures of it look amazing.
Oh, it's that it's those covers that.
Oh, you ready for this tagline for this movie? It's 30% human, 70% robot, 100% lethal. God, this movie sounds incredible.
But it's also set, and so now I am totally convinced that the whole arm wrestling thing in Turbo Kid is because of Hands of Steel.
Okay.
Like, I fully believe that it's such this small little joke in the movie, you know, where they try to, like, the arm wrestling, the loser has to hit on the brand, and it brands their hand, so
it
shows
branded
that
they lose,
And this guy has never lost anything. I love this character. I don't even remember it's what is his name in this movie. The personal bubble joke that they keep doing. He's like, you know, step out of my personal. When the guy tries to take a piss next to him, he just takes the guy and pushes him sideways.
Get out my manly bubble, all right,
my
bud.
God, I love this guy. Nate, you're losing it. What's
the Australian?
Wrong, yeah, the Australian. All right. Nate's gone.
I think Nate is.
Guys, I'm not trying to keep bringing up Hands of Steel at this point because I know we're trying to talk about Turbo Kid, but it says if you like Hands of Steel, you'll also enjoy Delta Force 2, The Vindicator,
yes,
and Cyborg Cop.
Well, that is our movie then.
I got too much shit I got to get done today after this recording, but my God, if I'm not going to find an hour and a half to locate and watch Hands of Steel today.
I have to finish Black Roses because I told you guys the first 30 minutes.
I can't keep falling down these rabbit holes.
But I do believe Hands of Steel is going to have to
get a
watch.
It's only on YouTube.
Hands of Steel is on YouTube? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's on YouTube. It doesn't even look like Severn Films or Vinegar Syndrome has done a release for this. So, because I was ready to buy it. I was ready to just like, screw it. I'm throwing $20 at this right now.
I'm trying to remember. I think it's Action Podcast covered it, I think, last year. And it got back on my radar. I have seen that movie cover in the rental stores. Because it looks amazing.
He's
holding an M16. He's flexing his arm, and part of the arm is a robot. It looks Terminator-ish. But anyway, I am fully sold that I believe, and the fact that it takes place in 1997 is a direct, like Turbo Kid is referencing Hands of Steel. So we have Hands of Steel, Steel Dawn, you know, how many other Rad? We have so many references in this movie that I am just, I'm there for it, man.
Oh, they made a Soylent Green reference also later on.
Oh, yeah, they do.
The water is people. I love it.
You could play a game just jotting down all of the references that go on. It's insane.
I don't think any of them beat you upside the head either.
No.
with maybe
it's glorious.
Gnomestick's the Gnomestick. Only one yep. that is a bit too heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm. But I love it.
But it's still but I love it. Yeah.
The fact she says it, mm-hmm. and she's very childlike in her reactions to things. I enjoy when she yells, funny, it's like my Apple, Gnomestick.
I do like Apple, but she's also like Mimi and Psycho Gorman, where it takes a minute to kind of.
No, I did not. I did not have that reaction to her.
Yeah, I loved her from the start. I think that actress made such good choices with what she was doing as this. She looked at the world in wonderment and complete joy, with an innocence and a naivete that it's rare if ever happens anymore.
All right. That's a good point.
She was just in love with the world and being alive, and this was her new friend. And I'm certainly happy this didn't turn into a sex robot thing. It was
a sex bot.
I was a little curious. What was she when he leaned in to kiss her later on in the film, and she barfed on him?
That was so good.
Is that in her programming to barf when someone tries to kiss her?
Yeah. What was that? Was she, because she was injured at that point? So
she was injured. It was her. I think it was her electronics.
And she did eat something, and he asked her like, well, "You can eat?" She's like, "Yeah, I can eat. I can drink. I can probably do all sorts of things."
Because they kiss later, so you know it that kind of plays into that. I do love the innocence of her. And it takes a second watching to really put it all together. Like the bracelet is how she connects to who her, I don't very bracelet, loosely right? gonna say owner, but whoever she is
it's like
programmed
her partner
to be.
In crime, essentially, because because
the other one's dead. She was with someone.
I want to see that story. Is that in the comic book, Nate?
I haven't read the comic book. I just bought it.
You're an idiot. You
look, man. What is wrong with you? I'm really bad about buying stuff, and it just like sits here,
killing me.
There, so yeah,
I did intend to read it before we record. Yeah, but I didn't get to.
Just like you were gonna watch the short from before that I sent you. Yeah, good job, Nate.
I feel called out right now.
Yeah,
and I plead the fifth, actually, gentlemen.
That's fine. You can plead the fifth.
This is not. It's not a legal court, Nate.
No, there is.
It's a kangaroo court.
You don't get the same rights.
It's a kangaroo court. This is a little bit Australian. So there is I know we're going to. This movie is really hard to talk about without talking about the references, but there's another reference that I'm pretty sure Nate's never seen. But I think Pete has seen it.
All right.
And there's two really good ties. And it ties back into what you're talking about with Apple. Apple has this kind of naivete to her, this, you know, very childlike. She's like another character from another apocalyptic movie that also stars Michael Ironside as a bad guy who was called Overdog, and it is Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. And it has Molly Ringwald as this very young scavenger kid.
Very young Molly Ringwald.
It's one of her first roles. And while she's trying to be a badass in that one, she still has a lot of stuff that I feel like they pulled for Apple.
Of course,
but
it's in 3D. Of course.
Michael.
I don't recommend it.
Fully recommend this movie. I adore.
No, this looks like Metal Storm all over again.
This is 1,000 times better than Metal Storm. Michael Ironside is a cyborg villain. Like, he's part robotic. His name is Overdog. He has a battle.
Shit, it's got Peter Strauss in it.
Yeah,
it's he and has
Ernie Hudson.
Yeah,
he has a battle arena in his lair with killer cars and razor blades and spikes that you have to get through. They drive these badass vehicles, nothing like Metal Storm or Steel Dawn.
Vehicles are super cool.
I can't fall down this rabbit hole today. I really can't.
1,000% recommend watching Space Hunter.
Shit, I gotta get done.
We covered it on. Nate, we covered it on Good Beer Bad Movie Night. Listen to what we think about it, and then
Watch the movie first. Watch the movie first, and then watch,
I need a download.
I'm telling you,
get a download, man? I just need one. Come on, man. Just give me one download. That's all I'm looking for.
Just one download, man.
I'm just jonesing over here for a download.
But I'm telling you, all these like fun references that this movie just kind of pulls from the nostalgia without copying. That's the beauty of what this movie has done. Go ahead, Pete.
When movies, usually it's an egregious thing when a movie makes a reference, whether it's heavy-handed or a secondary, just an off joke. Usually that's a really bad sign when you have to reference something else to make it better. And this movie, for whatever reason, does it brilliantly without reminding you that I want to go watch a better movie. Because you're already like, watching a kick-ass film.
This movie has a really cool sense of style to it. And because you could tell where it's low budget, but it's so charming. And seeing like if it's an up close shot of him riding a bike, you can tell it's like that's one small camera and them just like following behind him while he's riding the bike.
Sure.
You know? And there's something about the way that it's shot and when they went through in the editing process when doing the like coloring and everything, it's just like they nailed it. They nailed the tone, the softness of the scenery.
What was the budget for this, by the way? I didn't look that up. I'm just curious because if it was as low budget as you say, now this isn't a millions and millions of dollar movie. This is
a
$10 million movie.
But this isn't micro budget either.
Right. So there's some money behind this.
A budget of $60,000.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
No.
No.
There's no way.
Yep. There's no way.
I would.
Well, I believe it because in the same sense where. Psycho Gorman was made for less than $1 million, and most of its practical effects were done with what, 50,000, 80,000, we said?
Yeah, 100,000.
I really do think these Canadian filmmakers have found some sort of secret.
There was so much practical gore.
There's sets in this.
There are definitely sets in this.
Everything else is.
You're telling me
budget.
I can go if they did this for 60, like truly and legitimately,
and just a few years ago. Right?
I am making my Neon Maniacs happen.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking. Like, if you're telling me I can get anywhere around $100,000 to get a movie made to this level, like I know you can make a movie for any amount of money. I mean, people are going around making them with iPhones for $20 and a sandwich. But what I'm saying is, this movie,
60 frames.
Pete and I are looking at you calling shenanigans because this movie looks so damn good that number would have never hit my mind. I was thinking like 2 million.
I remember it being really low. I don't remember it being that low, but it's just impressive what this team
was able to pull
off. It's unbelievable.
Like, did everyone work for free? That's the only thing I could think of. Yeah.
Michael Ironside alone, just his base salary would have to be more than
60,000.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's a veteran actor.
Also talking about 2015 Michael Ironside. Well, even then,
he's not as expensive as you think.
He did the Splinter Cell games.
Even at scale, you couldn't have afforded him.
What this had to have been though is everyone being on board of like, we believe these three directors' vision. Let's just see what we can do.
If they could have convinced all these actors to do it pro bono and then just get a cut of the profits,
which there wasn't a lot of profit. So,
made $67,000
in the theaters.
Yeah,
it's box office. Like I said, this thing had a super, super limited release. I wish I could have seen this one in theaters.
And I think I don't think it's a movie issue because the movie's fantastic. I think it's getting the word out there. Yeah, so it's all in distribution.
Distribution is always what costs, like the amount of money it costs.
Yeah, advertising and distribution costs a lot of money.
Well, I always say it's almost like double your budget. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, but I mean, think about that. If your budget was 60, and even if someone put another 60 into promotion, that's not a lot of money in promotion.
It's still
that's very limited.
Summer of 84 made $42,000 at the box office.
But I am telling you,
that's the thing. These guys are great at what they do. They just need a marketing push.
I am going to study. I'm still on this high, guys. Sorry. But
I am
studying what they've done, try to find as much info as I can. You're telling me, though, if I could get something to the quality of what Turbo Kid is, and still be able to tell a story. You know, it doesn't feel, you know, jerky or hanky.
For less than the
cost of a house. Like, my house is almost paid off. I almost have enough collateral to make a movie.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, literally, with that, with some kickstarting and Indiegogoing, come on, man. This can happen. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a couple years. We're going to see about a Neon Maniacs.
I love it. I love the determination.
I love the fire.
I believe it. I'm looking at you like, oh, it's happening.
You know, everyone looked at me like I was stupid for making a podcast about action and horror movies. Like, oh, who's going to listen? You know, and it's
one of your,
it's been going great,
more questionable decisions for sure.
Right. Cause someone did it before me, didn't they, Pete?
Oh yeah. That was a bad idea too.
Now we did get distracted about arm wrestling. Like, 15 minutes ago.
Are you going back to the arm wrestling?
Well, no, I am, because there was blenders and fire.
Oh, yes.
Fire for a little bit, because you and Michael Irons, I got mad. When I say fire, I want fire!
It's just, I love the idea, though, of arm wrestling with a blender running. That's great.
Yeah.
It adds danger to arm wrestling.
And they were in, and now I'm like, how strong was Skeletron? Because our sub-hero is undefeated at arm wrestling. Like, they tell you that several times. They call him the champion in the movie. So, and Skeletron's not exactly weak, but he's not exactly buff either. He's not Vernon Wells. He's a skinny dude, but he's ready to arm wrestle this guy.
He's Indiana Jones. That's all he is to me.
Well, he's hero. Indiana Jones, yeah. But Skeletron is not big. So I was like, and he's like ready to throw down and arm wrestle over blenders and fire.
So good.
Oh my God. It's so good. But all right, well, we'll let Nate finish his high on his arm wrestling thing that we've got.
Wrap it up, Nate.
Let's hit a commercial break real fast and we'll come right back into Turbo Kid.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Hi, friends. The world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Now is your chance to save the city with Turbo Man. Fight against crime with America's favorite superhero, along with his awesome turbo gear, like the trusty Turbo Ring, Turbo Discs, and the Turbo Disc Launcher. And the roaring jetpack, complete with ballistic sound. And best of all, 4 turbo phrases, including...
It's Turbo Time!
Turbo Man.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
I had to put Turbo Man.
I'm having so much fun. I'm cracking open a beer, fellas.
At 9:11 in the morning. Uh-huh. I'm calling you out on that one.
Exactly. Peek behind the curtain. Is Pete cracking a beer?
Charlie, prepare your phone for 3 hours from now.
Right.
It's going to start blowing up.
Exactly, man.
We got a gig at a brewery later today.
Steven and Leo, I apologize now in the future of the past.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't know what group chat Pete will jump in, but it'll definitely be one of the three.
That's always fun. Like, which one am I going to do?
You never know.
Chat roulette.
For those that don't know, we have like this chat and Instagram with a lot of our Instagram, you know, like a cut above and spoils. But then we have like personal text chats with Steven and Leo. Then we have our own Slack chat for our own bullshit. And Pete will hop. Sometimes in all three,
yeah, on the same conversation in one, but then he does a follow-up text in another, and you're like, wait, what's going on?
And Nate and I are the only ones attached to all of them.
All of them,
yeah.
Right? You get the full conversation, aren't you guys?
We get the full. So we busted Nate out. We had to bust Pete out. So it's totally fine.
It's all good, baby. I stand by what I do.
100%. All right, well, we've only talked to him. We've only talked about him a little bit, but I want to talk more about Michael Ironside as Zeus in this movie.
The helmet. Yeah. Oh my God. Because you could tell that is someone that would just find that, you know, and be like, well, this is what's going to throw me in charge.
It feels very Greek or something like that. It does. Well, something like that.
Well, I think I'm pretty sure it is a Zeus sculpture.
That makes so much sense.
Really, guys? Why am I the only?
Because I'm an idiot. That's why.
And I was thinking Zeus from the Hercules Disney cartoon, all right?
That's the same guy.
Seriously? It's the same guy.
He's a really handsome cartoon.
Okay.
Michael Ironside is a really handsome guy, so it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Ironside, I love him.
Hey, he got Sharon Stone in Total Recall, so, you know, it's totally fine.
He was a bad guy, and she was bad.
Right. That's how it works.
That doesn't count.
They were married. Right. Yeah.
It counts.
Consider it a divorce.
Because she was, you know, we won't talk about Total Recall.
But Michael Ironside is amazing in this. And
I love
it. When I first popped it in, you know, you saw the poster and he's got that eye patch on. And I'm looking at it like, that guy kind of looks familiar. As right? soon as he said his first line, I went, are you kidding me? Is that Michael Ironside? This little tiny budget got Michael Ironside's on this. It was amazing.
I did not know what Michael Ironside looked like. In modern days, time, you know, when watching this, it was like,
I think the last time I saw him was Starship Troopers, quite frankly.
Did you watch Nobody?
He was in that, yeah.
Yeah, he plays,
but that was even after this film.
Yeah.
He's the father, that's after, but he plays the father in law to Bob Odenkirk.
A little upset. This is like the first time I haven't gone to Horror Hound in forever, and he is there this weekend.
Yep, he was.
We suck, mate.
Talks last night, like in bed after watching Turbo Kid, like, what if after recording we just hit the road instantly and go to Indianapolis? And it's like, I don't got the time.
I had four shows this weekend, one today.
And my Ohio trip yesterday. Got shifted, so I wasn't going to be like 2 hours away
was. I found out two of the guys that worked on Psycho Gorman's practical effects are at Horror Hound.
Now you're just pissing us off.
I know.
Now you're just pissing.
Trust me,
off.
That when I saw that, that was like the catalyst where like it was a serious conversation last night in bed. Like, well, let's see if
those are the guys to talk to, Charlie.
An hour and a half, then we can like hit the road.
Well, yeah. Like I told you guys, I've actually talked to the director of Psycho Gorman on Instagram before. Nice. So it's not like these guys are unobtainium. You know, you can reach out to them and talk to them.
Yeah, but you got to have that Canadian magic, you see.
I have a lot of Canadian connections, my friends. That is the best thing from podcasting. Is
are they going to share their magic? Because clearly it's magical powers to make these kind of glorious kills on such a shoestring of a budget. Because this movie, it doesn't like double. It like quadruples the amount of bodies that get cut in half. But then it does the same gag of like maybe the legs are just standing there. And the blood is just spraying from the waist, and it doesn't get old. Every time do it again. Mar.
And then the legs end up on someone's head.
And then the head or the body lands on someone else's head.
There was
head.
A triple stack dude at the end where it was the dude.
And the best part was.
And then somebody's.
It rains this. Blood in this.
It literally rains blood.
But the best part was I watched this movie several times, but Pete, even though I'm going to call Nate out again, Nate didn't watch the short. I watched T is for Turbo, and they do that gag in the short film for like the 4 minute clip. They do the double stacked body in there. And I'm like, I love that you guys went for it when you had a little bit more budget and a little bit more time to pull. And they even elevate it more, and I'm laughing even louder.
Were there two guys at the end with a double stack?
Well, so one guy gets the top torso on him.
Yeah.
The other guy gets the lower torso. Legs sticking up and his legs down. And then I think at some point, there's a three stack
torso,
because he kills one.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's just like, you know, wandering around like a mime, just doesn't know where to go. And it's glorious, man.
Like I watched that last fight on loop this morning just to get psyched up for
this
show.
I don't blame
you
at all.
It does. And like Nate said, it doesn't get old. There isn't a kill that isn't memorable. And there are a lot of kills in this, and they are gloriously bloody, like all and of my like old, each all my like, samurai movies where they just blood fountains everywhere.
Yeah,
this is that times 10.
The kill of the week bit, like as I'm watching, like, oh, that's my kill of the week. Oh wait, no, it's that one.
Kill of the week is and not just fair like, this week.
Oh God, like
can I just when cite you think, the whole movie?
And like when the movie does its first reveal of what the turbo gun does. Because you've got the comic book of it's a turbo rider, and then he gets it, and it's just like, okay, like what's this thing really do? And when it does the first like blood puddle, because that's all it is, it just turns a man into blood, it's like, oh shit. Well, they ain't gonna do that again, but they do. And then like when it comes to like the Saul gun and it working, and you get to see like Saul's actually sticking in people and the blood fountain. It's just stuff like that where you're like, holy shit. Any other, a lesser movie would have turned the camera away, would have never shown you, or what it would have done is, Saul blade hit, guy died, and we'll show him on the ground dead with a little
of,
blood.
One of my favorite things in this movie is with the saw blade, is when he fires the saw blade at someone, he's holding his arm up with the saw blade launcher, and he cocks his gun, and the blade pops up back out of it.
It's so
all
cool.
in one shot. So they have made this rig
a mechanical something,
that it, and then it can spin. It just he cocks it, blade pops out, and it starts to spin. And I'm like, I fucking love that. That is my favorite, like, bit.
That's some
like,
great
special effect in the movie. And those, that's. If to go back in time, I love where I'm at right now, but when I was a kid, special effects was life. I wanted to go do special effects, but rural Virginia, that you might as well been on the other end of the of the globe for me, because everyone would tell you had to go to, you know, Los Angeles, you had to go where movies are being made. Now it can be anywhere. Exactly. And I watched that stuff going, man, I would have loved to have been the person there making the shit for the movie, you know, just creating something in the shop that is going to be put on the screen, even for just a second. I was looking at things like there's just random dead heads in this movie from time to time, decapitated bodies. And that's someone making this their own little signature, you know, a head on a pike or a skeleton's head in a helmet. When Apple grabs that dude's head off with the snake going through it, and she gets her helmet because it scares Turbo Kid, and she just reaches in like it's nothing, shakes the skull out of it,
so good,
and puts it on her head. I'm loving all of that, but I've watched this movie so many times that now I'm more paying attention to the background. I'm watching, you know, like the settings, the buildings that they put it in, all the little effects, the weapons they're all using. Like, so one of the villains has this very crude looking glaive, you know, like from Kroll, which is the three bladed throwing thing from the movie. It's not like they went, oh look, there's the glaive, but it works like the glaive, and this guy throws it. It ends up sticking in one of the guys at the arena, the spectators. I love that bit.
Goes into his head.
I love the bit where someone watching. Yes. I got a helmet on. The head's done been turned down.
But like,
that's great. You beat me to it, dude.
It's also Star Wars Clone Wars where they pick up Jango Fett's helmet.
Definitely.
And Boba's like, really sad, and you're like, your dad's head's in that.
He's in there. Drop it, kid. The trauma. But in that pit, that giant dude with just the brick on a stick.
Did you see the sack? He's got the sack over his head. And he's smoking. I don't know if it's cold or if he's burning. I don't know.
Sweat.
I like that
sweat.
Right. You see football players all the time in the cold weather where there's just steam rolling off their head.
But again, adds to that intimidation of this person.
Terrifying.
I don't know where they get their references, but I just know when I saw that part and you see that center block on a stick, there is a G.I. Joe character called Road Pig. That was its weapon, was a center block on a stick. And it's the most Mad Max looking G.I. Joe character. He's got like football shoulder pads. He has a wrist gauntlet that shoots darts, but his main weapon was a center block on a stick.
Wow.
And I saw this movie for the first time going, that's Road Pig's weapon. Holy shit, this is awesome.
See, what I have to dig it out later. But yeah. Is Resident Evil 5, the game. You have the executioner. He's a really big staggering guy with like the same type of hood. And he has a giant hammer slash axe.
Yeah.
He's very similar to
Pyramid Head kind of feel too.
When those type of characters are so interesting.
Tell me this isn't also a reference to Jason in Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, totally. With Sackhead.
Definitely has to be.
Sackhead.
I think that's what it is. Like they kind of just threw these things in a blender.
Was the town that dreaded sundown, I think, was also a.
That was also a burlap sack. Yeah.
Yep.
Stephen and Leo at Spoils of Horror just covered. So go check that out.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, go check that out.
That's why it's on top of your head right now, Pete.
But, yeah.
But the bag? No, the bag's not.
Take the bag off.
No, that's in the dark.
That's why Jody turns the lights off at night.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have to put a sack over my head.
But, you know, we're talking about, all the, you know, like every kill is elevated, but then there's like some of the simplest kills that we're talking about. The arena was the red shirt guy that is in the fight with him. He takes off running with like what looks like a screwdriver, slips, falls, and it stabs himself in the eye. Jackie busts out laughing.
That's what he's supposed to be screaming
because that's attached to his face. And I'm just like, I love it's like these little cliche things that are just funny, almost Looney Tunish, but God, It's in an R-rated gory movie, and I love it.
The final fight had a lot of that Looney Tunes Three Stooges. They were swinging. What that one person had a weight like a 20-pound
attached to a chain.
That
feels like something I would have made in Fallout, though, because some of the mods to Fallout 4 was like, I remember one was I took a brick and just attached it to a stick. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is my brick stick. Right,
there you go.
And like, that is what this movie does of just like, I like to think they probably went to a thrift store and went, just buy as much stuff out of these sporting equipment aisle, you know?
They got the gnome
and we'll make
for
weapons
sure.
out of it.
Have you ever, there's a like little video clip of Adam Savage walking through a hardware store. And he's basically like building props and weapons, or he'll be like, oh yeah, this, if you watched X movie, this was what this was in that movie. You know, you're just like, mother, what the, I want to go do that now. I just want to go through these. But I was going to say, does Fallout ever have you put a unicorn on the front of your bicycle and ram it through people's bodies?
Yeah. Now there is a lack of unicorns.
Unicorn heads and
mainly lack of BMX bikes in Fallout.
Oh, you need to buy a BMX bike for sure.
I think they're supposed to be, I don't know where it's at right now. They had talked about a Turbo Kid game for a little while. And I don't know where it's at as far as whether it, you know, it's still in development or what, but I was, you know, we played these type of games. I have like the Mad Max game on, you know, Xbox One and, you know, Fallout's out there.
There's
and
a
all these...
demo on Steam, but the release date is yet to be announced.
Okay, so they've just
right. a little I'll, the 2D side scroller,
which I think would be fun. But I would love an open world. There was another game, I've got it. It was an older system. I think it was called Rage, and it
was cool.
Apocalyptic.
That was very Mad Max.
Did like quests, and you made weapons. So I was like, if you did something like that with Turbo Kid on, you know, one thing we haven't talked about, and there's definitely more neon in this movie than Neon Maniacs, but man, this color palette in this movie still fits our theme for neon.
Agreed.
Well, definitely.
So Apple is very neon. She has those
super
those
neon
bright pastels, right? Even in the, when her head, when they move her head from one body to the other. I just love that so much.
Duct tapes, I think, her head.
Duct tapes
the body.
Her head to a new robot body. And
because that works.
I love this dress. That's what she.
She loves this dress, right?
Yeah. I love this dress.
And I just lost all my. Oh, the color palette. Yeah. So you've got this wasteland behind you, all of the browns and
very sepia almost.
Yeah, yeah, see, yeah. And anyone with any little bit of color on them really stands out. And Turbo Kid does. He's got that. It, he just pops. He's got that red football helmet and these and the football shoulder pads.
Well, even before he got the Turbo Rider outfit, he's got like the bright colored elbow pads and knee pads.
The,
like
right, the yellow, rainbow elbow pads. Rainbow. Yeah, yeah. And everyone else is like dull browns. Even our secondary hero has leather jacket and a fedora, and it's all
world weather brown stuff. But then we also get like the glove, and it's super bright rainbow effect.
It's the turbo
color.
Glove.
It's the turbo glove. I think is what it's called. It's definitely a power glove.
Power glove. Know, that's it.
Oh yeah,
that they're using.
No
on
doubt
that.
About it.
Yeah, but it's somehow that when we said Neon Month, we both were like Turbo Kid. That's sure. part of this whole thing, because I feel very neon feel without it being overly like in your face. Psycho Gorman does a really good job of, there is neon in that movie and it's a very bright colored movie, but they did it just enough to make it feel alien. And
that
I like how they did
that. Both bright and dark at the same time.
Yes.
I'm like, this is wonderful.
Part of me also though, like with doing this month, neon is a vibe, man. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like something that oozes on the screen.
Well, that's
you
like
tell like, yeah,
that's like Mandy. Is Mandy isn't for. Neon colors, but there's a vibe to it. Whew. That was a neon vibe through Mandy. Same with Neon Maniacs. I think in spirit, even though there is a tiny little bit of neon, it fits this vibe.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man.
And that's the thing where it's like, it's one of those, like the market's not oversaturated with these style of movies. And even though I kind of want that, would it lose its appeal? I don't think it would for me, because it just
I don't think
more
so.
Movies that I want to see. Like
I want, like we said at the start of this, I want more of this genre, this nostalgia based R-rated movies.
Interviews I had ever heard was Jordan Peele talking about when he made Get Out, was it was a movie he had never seen, so he just wants to make movies that he wants to see. And something about saying that, like the way it was worded, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like that doesn't exist. I want to see that. I'll make that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel like with this month, it's like, oh yeah, that doesn't exist. I want that kind of thing.
Right.
And Turbo Kid was something that 10 years ago, I would have never thought I needed until seeing it. Cause someone took what every cliche that works, put it in a blender, and it comes out into this.
Well, one thing we've done here inexplicably was all this is independent. Nothing we've covered this month.
Yeah.
Is a huge budget movie. None
of these are backed by studios.
No. And we didn't plan that.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
No. I mean, I literally, we're just sitting here talking about it. And I'm going,
epiphany now.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if there's $5 million in all of the movies to get, not counting that we did Con Air this month. Or, Grindhouse is still, even though there was a production company behind it, because we did that the first part of this month.
Yes,
it
true.
Has a very independent, low budget.
It was
more of a passion
project
than it was
exactly.
Yeah, but it still
production.
Had a $30 million budget.
It did, it's based on a very independent style of movie making, though. Mm-hmm. So I like this kind of through line that we got going on this month. It's pretty awesome. But
I also think that the 80s, late 80s, this neon generation is now 40 years away. And when we were watching
Thanks,
movies
Pete,
in the 90s,
I feel great.
No, I'm just saying like that's you're dipping our toes. The folks that grew up in that era are now making movies about what they knew. And
that's why it's
a very good way to put
people
it. Yeah.
People in the 90s or 80s were making movies about
the
60s
and
always,
70s,
but 60s, yeah. 70s, maybe even the 50s.
There was influences of the past in movies that were being made of the
Agreed.
Time.
Yeah.
So now we are finally at this point where a lot of people make fun of the 80s. There's a lot of stuff that light speeded ahead in the 80s as far as technology and movie making and the, you know, storytelling and things of that nature, to where now we can pull from those and put them in movies now, like Turbo Kid and Psycho.
Then you also have like what Stranger Things did, especially because I think Stranger Things was 2015. This is around the same time.
You're within a year or two.
You're in the ballpark.
Plus one, minus one, let's say.
Right.
But it really ushered in this like whole, everything has to be 80s now. I will say there's stuff that it did right with like the soundtrack that, you know, you see here in Turbo Kid as well. I still think all the Stranger Things should have been filmed just like the intro title card where it has the film grain. They should have done that for the whole series.
It also should have been two seasons, because all of a sudden now it's like, now you know the studio got way too involved and it's watered it
different.
Now.
It was such a big hit though. You have such a big
hit,
that,
that's the bitch of it right there is, oh, now we can make money, but it hurts the story overall. There's still another season to come out.
That happened. Like, you get the first It movie was, you know, clearly a carbon copy of what Stranger Things vibe was.
It was. And yeah.
I can't think of anything else off my head, but I know it's trickled its way into our society.
Right now, we've talked about this before, is like the thickest nostalgia has ever been. You know, from toy releases to movie to music to all this stuff. Right now,
history finds a way of always repeating itself.
Yeah,
so.
But well, now, guess, like Pete was saying, now our generation that we're this age now, we're looking back fondly on. Yeah, childhood.
We have paychecks
we
now.
Love.
We can buy our
and own. We have paychecks.
10 years from now, JNCO jeans are going to make a comeback, and I'm going to just be looking at all y'all.
Like,
do that.
You say, oh my God, you just.
Someone's going to be, you know, I can fit my Xbox Series X into my back pocket. Like, we didn't. No, we don't need to do this.
There is a brand new pair of JNCOs in my house. Jackie found them at a thrift store.
That's a good find.
Black and red. Whoa. And she shows me, and I'm like, I miss the JNCO thing. Like, I'm old enough to where that was happening when I was graduated.
Mm-hmm.
She holds these things, and I said, you found JNCO. She goes, they still have the tags on them. She's and I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? Like,
you found a 90s holy grail right there.
There are brand new JNCOs in my house right now. I am not bullshitting you. The fact you brought that up.
That's amazing.
And I'm just like, there's a pair. I could go get it right now. Show you guys. They don't fit me. They're not made. You know, she didn't even care about the size. Like, I don't know if anyone JNCOs in the house.
Mine.
She found brand new. Bottom.
Our first Patreon level is now Charlie squeezing into these JNCOs.
Oh my God!
And please don't. And everyone gets that photo.
I know I ain't got no butt. I could probably fit into them, but no, you don't want to see. I don't know. Did they make? I don't think JNCOs work as high waters if they're not tall enough. That would be the weirdest.
No, that's looking. That. You could just say they're shorts at that point.
Oh, that's right. They had like the JNCO shorts, which we call pants. Which is totally fine. All right, boys. Well, I think we've descended enough. I think it's time to do the things. What do you think?
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Leave anything for us?
Just bodies.
Body count. Body count. Body count. Body count.
I got a question quick.
Oh, go ahead.
So there's a lot of gore in this.
A lot, yes.
A lot of gore. It's considered an action movie, though, right? Or is this like skirting some sort? There's not any horror in this at all.
There's no scary.
But this is one of those.
But there's
movies.
A lot of blood. I mean, somebody's intestines got ripped out of his body. Are there any other action movies that skirt this level of violence and horror? Okay, all right.
I'd say the fourth Rambo movie is pretty violent.
Fourth Rambo, yeah. Four and five really up it. Ninja Assassin.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Ton
Yeah, yeah.
Of blood. Yeah. So I can find you some.
This okay. is one of those movies that while it falls into our action category, this is meant for horror fans. You
oh,
know?
Sure. This is a gateway definitely... drug into action movies for horror fans. It's got to be.
I mean, to me, the way we set this out was, I like how we categorized it, where Psycho Gorman, we put in the horror slot.
Yeah. Yeah,
it could have been action.
It's a monster,
but it's a monster creature feature. Mandy feels like it rides that razor's edge. It could go action and horror. Neon Maniacs definitely went horror, you know, because it's monsters slasher style.
Yeah, yeah.
But Turbo Kid, I think it's way heavier on the action side because as the action guy, there are some uber violent. Action movies out there with a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger threw a saw blade into a dude's chest, so it's not outside the realm. He cut one dude's arm off with a pretty good amount of blood coming out of it in Commando, because he brings the machete down on the arm. I think that was our buddy Chico who dies in that one. But
there's a action movie made by the dude that did Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh God! Really?
I will have to show you that I plan to have us cover next year, because it is so batshit crazy and such a blast.
I mean,
that by myself, I was laughing and just like, yeah. So I imagine with you two knuckleheads, it's gonna be a ton of fun.
Hey, we've yet to find an action movie I didn't like yet. So
it's true.
Raiders of Atlantis, you're gonna adore and be like, why did I not own this sooner?
Right.
You didn't like Cutie Honey.
That wasn't an action movie.
You can't hear it, but I'm grabbing my head.
With Turbo Kid, we kind of, with this being independent, apparently with $60,000, it's not a huge body count, but it's definitely quality over quantity. We got 17 in Turbo Kid.
That feels right, especially because
everyone was good.
Every single one of them is awesome.
There wasn't a throwaway kill in this. Everyone was a glorious splatter or fountain.
Yeah, you're right. Every kill matters.
Turbo Kid's parents die. It's just like, good Lord, this is brutal.
Yeah.
His dad literally gets cubed.
I love the line, drowning is a luxury that few men or few people know these days. What? Oh, can afford, right. Yeah. What a line.
That is a hard line. The mom is one of the directors.
Oh, is she?
She's also the girl in the short film.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Yep. I didn't put that together. Okay.
After I watched the short film, I was looking stuff up and I was like, she looks familiar. Okay. It's the mom. And then when I looked up, because there's three directors, she's one of the directors as well. So, yep. So that's the easy part, guys. Now we got the hard part.
Have you ever killed anyone?
Yeah, but they were all bad.
I don't want to do this.
Nope. There's no wrong answer. That's how you have to look at this.
True.
Like I said, I was just like, it's this one. No, it's this one. I was just like, shit. Kill Overload.
So, Nate, Kill Overload is what's your kill of the week?
All right. I think it is where we have our Indiana Jones with his robot hand at the very end. He rips a man's jaw off.
Yes.
All the blood. It's a water fountain of blood. And then takes that man's jaw and shoves it in the guy's face.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's great.
It's a unique kill. It's brutal. It's practical. It's done in one take. That is. And it's
surprising.
It's surprising. Pete, it's jaw dropping.
Now I'm holding my head.
There goes Pete. All right, Pete. Well, it should be like, let's see who can one up whoever kills. Right. But what is your kill of the week?
The most creative kill I've ever seen in my entire life, as you stab Skeletron through the gut, with an umbrella, and then open said umbrella.
That could have been mine.
Splits Skeletron in half. And in one movement, Turbo Kid opens the umbrella, puts it over him and Apple, and it rains blood. And he's being a gentleman and making sure that none of the blood hits his
And they finally get their kiss.
And they finally get a smooch. Yep.
It is a beautiful bloody scene.
So beautiful, it really is.
Like it pulls at the heartstrings for such a gruesome moment.
It's so gruesome. And his body is split in two, and you see all sorts of sinew and intestine flying just left and
human
right.
Human is yeah.
It was something that I've just never seen, and a lot of these kills were I was not expecting that, and it would hit me. I'd have to pause and laugh and go walk around for a little bit to calm down. But this was that's definitely mine. It was wonderful.
So
all right, Charlie, yeah. That leaves you. Now that this, leaves what was it 17? You got 15 more kills. To 15 choose
more
from. Well, 14 because I will not ever count. Apple dying as one of my favorite kills.
Okay, yeah. So 14 more to go. Movie.
Yeah. Honestly, it's been between two that the one that made me laugh and giggle, which is the first time Turbo Kid like slices at that dude in the arena and the top of his head starts spinning because he's sliced through it. And then he cuts again and the head comes around. But I think my favorite is Turbo Kid's dad when Skeletron runs up to him and slices in an X pattern across his chest. And then he falls into four chunks of body right where he slices. I'm like, any other movie, it would have just been like this big X cut through the chest and bloody. Nope. There's no reason for that saw blade to have actually gone through an entire human body, but it doesn't matter. He cuts him and these huge arm, head, legs fall down. And I'm just like, I love it. But there is no wrong answer with this movie. Every kill. Honorable mention, and it's not a kill, is the reveal of Michael Ironside being a cyborg.
As a robot. Yeah.
He's laying on the ground.
And he shoots lasers out of his mouth.
Out of his mouth.
It is. But that was foreshadowing. The face prosthetic where it's like flesh ripped off and he's metallic underneath. I love. Yeah. I want that as a NECA action figure. You know, I want Zeus, but with his face torn.
How did they very make this Terminator for 60 grand?
I know. I don't get it. Everyone had to just want to do this
Canadian
for nothing.
Magic.
Yeah, clearly.
Canadian bacon.
their money smells like maple syrup. They can deny it all they want. I've smelled it. I don't know why. They're like, no, it doesn't. I'm like, yes, it does. Well, I pulled that money out of the ATM and I instantly inhaled it and went, yeah, that's maple syrup. All right.
Some hobo that drinks maple syrup farted on it and Nate's just inhaling.
I don't care.
It
like, I took all that cash right up into my face.
Nate's treating it like a scratch and sniff from the 80s. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Maple.
And their coins are loonies and toonies. Come on. That whole that country's having a party.
Oh,
I know. All right. let's rate this bad boy. All right. Let me Nate go first. So Pete, you go first.
Gentlemen, is this a perfect film? Maybe.
Almost. I mean, you're almost asking like.
I mean, if you were to show a definition of a perfect film, it
I'm
would have
having
this poster.
Trouble finding fault in this. It was immensely entertaining. The acting was great.
Yeah.
The special effects were out of this world. It's a 10. I love this movie so much. I cannot find a single flaw. Yes, the science is a little toho.
Doesn't matter, though.
It just throws science
matter.
Words.
Matter.
My biometric systematic chip is failing or whatever.
I cannot imagine anyone not liking this. I'm sorry, you're wrong if you don't like this movie. You're just wrong.
So, you just don't know how to have fun.
It's a 10. I got no other thing.
Nate?
That 10. What Pete said.
Yep.
Same. I'm giving it a 10.
Yes! Unanimous 10.
This was the epic conclusion to this month. I was so excited for it. Like this all was leading to Turbo Kid.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not we had two movies that were dead set, and that was PG and Turbo Kid. Mm-hmm. And we filled in the other two, you know, Mandy was really, didn't take us long to agree on doing that.
Oh, that was an easy one to say. You know, yes.
And we had a happy accident with Neon Maniacs, which I love even more that it's in this month. But Turbo Kid is the crescendo for the month of Neon. And it is a perfect film for us, for it, like, I get there's probably some people out here that just don't understand. Would Jackie give this a 10? Oh. No. But did she have fun with it? Absolutely. Yeah, she had fun with this.
Gentlemen, I have found a trash opinion.
Even on Amazon, like, it's a 4.6. I'm like, who are you people?
The one I have found, it's going to make sense.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm the trash man. I come out. I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage, and then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's gonna be a disaster.
We can never have a more perfect drop than that.
I just love it.
I'm telling
you, every time.
All right, Nate, hit us with a trash.
Go ahead, Nate.
All right, this comes from 2015 from Saywell, who gave it 1 out of 10, saying, "Gory." Gory, gory, reflects the sad people of today. Nothing to do with the 80s, everything to do with the ghastly, macabre, gore-loving youth of today. Kill Bill plus Mad Max plus a villain looking like out of Waterworld does not make it an 80s film. Pathetic rubbish. I don't blame the director or producer. I blame the people who give any star rating at all for stuff like this. If you are kind-hearted and hate people being killed in a gory way, heads cut in half all the time, intestines pulled out, blood spurting, please, 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 please avoid this. It will scar you. Yes, it will scar you. My first review in IMDb, purely to keep the innocence of the new generation.
Okay, Karen.
I want to fight that guy.
Yeah. Or Chad, Turbo, whoever you are.
Turbo Kid style. I want to fight this guy.
Just make Put him me in explode. Arena with him.
What? The, I just the 80s people guess, don't want that's gore. The type of person that, you know, doesn't think this, women should have control of their own body.
This is an
that's,
overly
that's
Christian
the type of person,
person
that is.
They want VeggieTales over Vernon Reed, you know.
Yeah. That's the type of person that gets offended by Tim Conway.
There was a ton of gore in the 80s. What is he even talking about?
Yeah.
That's shenanigans.
I am a gore-loving youth, though.
Yeah. My challenge stands. I want to fight you. Whoever
fight
you are,
you.
If you
I
listen
fight you
to
now.
This podcast,
I'll fight you
I
in
will
the pool.
Fight you.
Loser goes
There's
to
There's a
run.
Reason why Losers Gwar is one of my top five bands, you know?
Right. Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. I will let you pick any weapon, and I'll use a gnome stick. And I will still beat you to death. Any weapon you want. I don't care. Because I'm sure you don't know what a gun is. Yeah. Every time. Yeah. No.
Here's
I'll use
what's
a
amazing.
Stick.
Apparently, Turbo Kid got a VHS release. I'm totally buying it.
Like, are you?
Yeah. So if you guys go to Orbit DVD, it has it on there for $20 right now.
Oh, that's worth man. It.
Yeah.
Orbit DVD?
Yep.
There was a scene where it was night and they were had a fire going and he was putting VHS tapes into the fire to keep warm.
I like to think though those were all what was the Heidi? What was Annie?
Oh, they're all Steel Dawn VHS.
Stop it!
Yeah, that makes sense. They were all Steel Dawn. The less of those copies exist, the better.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I will
makes
say
Charlie's
one thing about
more valuable.
Yeah, I will say one thing about that guy's review that I never even put Waterworld in my brain with the eye patch over Michael Ironside. And I'm like, damn it. He's right. I can't deny that one.
But that means he's watched Waterworld and like,
I love Waterworld. Don't you even start with me, Pete. Oh, God, I love that movie. Okay. Well, that's right. It, boys. That's a month
it.
Of Neon.
I have Hands of Steel in my cart now, region free. Thank you, Turbo Kid, for this reveal.
Yep. I am
excited. You know what? This VHS tape might make it into the cart as well.
I think it should. Well, that finishes out our month of Neon, as I said, and now sets us up for yet another month I have zero control over. We have these two knuckleheads sharing a birthday month, which means they both get to take over the entire month.
Yes. Yes, we do.
We
and next week,
yeah,
we hit you up with my first pick for the horror month. Deathgasm. Metal and horror combined. It's the definition of Nate. And I am so
have you seen this one, Charlie?
I have. I am a huge fan of this movie. Okay. Nate and I have talked about covering it for a long time.
Raven Banner had a release of this, so yes, it just continues this trend of gore.
Yep. I am not upset with this pick whatsoever. I am looking forward to covering Deathgasm.
All of our
you
picks
guys.
Are bangers.
This
whole
month
is gonna be killer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I we'll save for the reveals, but to be honest, I'm looking forward to specifically one of Pete's. I'm definitely intrigued by, because I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a cold watch for me, but I'm excited to watch it. So we'll leave that as a little teaser for everybody. And if you want to find out what those releases are and you follow us over on our social medias, you will see it. You can follow us over. Give Me Back My Action Movies, the Facebook group. Give Me Back My Horror Movies, the Facebook group. Both of us are on Instagram. We are on TikTok. We are on X. We are on Threads. This podcast releases on YouTube right now as an audio file, so you can check us out there. Please, if you listen to us on Spotify or Apple, go ahead and rate us over there. Write us a nice Apple review for our love of Apple in Turbo Kid. So one of my favorites. Aww. Yeah, see how I can tie
that's
all
nice.
That in.
You tied that together. That was really nice.
I'm really good at this. So yeah, and that's where we just have a lot of fun on all these. We share everything that's going on. Anything we make a reference to, we try to get it out on the old interwebs. Pete, you haven't done it in a while. Why don't you tell everybody about your podcast that you guys also covered, Turbo Kid? So
yeah, we did.
Actually
a couple
make
years
this
ago.
A double feature. So yep. Tell everybody about Good Beer, Bad Movie Night.
Yeah, once a month, we my co-hosts and I, Kathleen, Troy, and Dave, put out Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, where we watch bad movies and drink good beer. And as Charlie always says,
but not every beer is good and not every movie is bad.
Yeah. So we what we hang our hat on is our six-pack rating. So we tell you how many beers you need to enjoy said film. And sometimes you don't need a lot, and sometimes you need to be completely drunk to enjoy some films. So
that's right.
Yeah, come on over again once a month. It's not a lot of investment, so
and go back, because Nate and I made our debut on
there
last month, and we covered Speed 2.
We covered
Cruise Speed Control.
There he goes. Nate was ready for that one.
Oh yeah, Speed 2.
Thanks to Zencaster, we were able to put all six of us in one online room, so that was wonderful.
It was
talk about Zencaster glorious call. Of a lost boy,
yeah,
and a boat that doesn't have brakes.
And Willem Dafoe as an awesome villain.
We did have a great time. That was a great episode.
We had a blast over there. So yeah, everybody go check out Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. You'll again, if you follow us on all our other links, you'll see it. We share it, so you can find it out there and rate them over on Spotify and Apple
pretty
as
please.
Well. So, gentlemen, is there anything else we need to discuss?
I'm great. I'm so excited.
Thank
for next
you
month.
So much to everyone for listening, and you know.
Right,
that's cool. Oh, and Creepy Jason, go check out the Con Air episode, because it was really cool to have Creepy Jason on the show. It was a blast. Can't wait to get him back for Armageddon at this point.
Yeah,
and support Dystopian Nights, because that board game looks
take
insane
for Armageddon.
That's right. Yep, so you should be able to go check us out. We should have links up for all his Kickstarters getting ready to start. I think it was Nate,
November 1st.
November 1st, it comes out.
Instantly
so.
Buying that. I'm backing it. Right out the gate.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I think all of us here are gonna back.
That's
it,
so make sure we share all that stuff out there. And
oh yeah. All right, Charlie. Got any final words?
This is my gnome stick.